TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Center Show, Show 135, Thursday, 13th of December, 2007. Welcome to the Media Center Show with tech.co.uk. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show is Tim Kay from 10Foot Media. 10Foot Media are a UK-based media center system builder, and they're going to be talking about their range of media center systems and how they've been installing media center into commercial locations such as dentists. So if you're in a dentist in the UK and you see a media center system, you may know who put that in. I have email, news items, an update on the Media Center Show Awards. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you listening. I've said it before, but I wouldn't be able to do the show without you listeners, and I do appreciate you taking the time in your day to listen to the show. We've got an interesting email this week from Jim Perry. Hi, Ian. I got a Windows XP Media Center last year. I basically spec'd out a system, AMD 4200, 2GB RAM, 100GB drive, rated 500GB drives, and roll up 2. I record HD and then stream it over Ethernet to my Xbox 360 and watch it on my Toshiba HD TV. My problem was that sometimes I'd like to take a program to watch at my parents for the weekend or on a trip or give to a friend. It seems that converting a file using a program like AVS Media Converter would cause the audio and video to get out of sync. I was able to take BitTorrent programs and burn them to CD with no problems using Nero Expression 6. It worked very well. I never actually thought of using Nero to burn MSDVR files, thinking that Nero wouldn't work with them. But after emailing you a couple of weeks ago, I thought, hey, I'll try Nero, and it worked. I took Bionic Woman recording HD and recorded it onto Nero. This worked very well, and the email and even looked good too. No syncing problems. The menu choices and interface is a bit clunky after using Adobe Encore, but it works. So guess this is setup works, and my question answered. Also, I'm about to purchase a laptop for my wife, and it'll be a Dell refurb with Vista Home Premium, I think. It won't have a tuner, and I don't think I'll get one, but this is just for listening to podcasts and reading sites like the Green Button, etc. Is there a service pack or plans to add new features to at least be on XP, on par with XP anytime soon? Now, why I'm upgrading to Vista on my current PC, as it doesn't have as many features and the drivers and other headaches I've been heard about from Vista. It'll be a couple of service packs before I attempt it. What version of Media Center do you use, Vista and XP, and what else are the differences? Also, I thought of getting a DVD player that can play DivX. That way I could fit perhaps more episodes onto a DVD from my XP DVRS setup. Is there a good pipeline for taking HD MSDVR content file to DivX? I've seen little programs that promise to auto-detect commercials and edit them out, batch process TV shows, etc., into other file types. Do any of these actually work for XP and HD versions of MSDVR files? I have to work around, but would still like more options. Too bad Microsoft doesn't do more in this area. Also, Windows Movie Maker is a joke compared to something like iMovie, from what I've seen. Is MS working on anything behind the scenes to compete? Thanks for letting me bend your ear and pester you with the questions, Jim Perry. Thanks for the email, Jim. I'll try to get through to some of those points. Thanks for letting us know about the Nero. That's good to know. If you're on Vista, I would have recommended using the built-in Vista DVD authoring software. I've used that. Got recorded TV files and use the Vista's built-in software to create a DVD, and that works fine. It transcodes them. The menus look really nice, actually. They've done a good job with those. Next question about your wife's laptop and XP. This is something you hear quite often about people complaining about Vista versus XP. And I can only speak from my experiences, but I can really say Vista's working great for me. It's much more stable than XP. It's got more features. From a media center perspective, Vista Media Center looks great, and the third-party application for Vista Media Center, written in Media Center markup language, which is only available to Vista, is absolutely amazing. If you look at some of the third-party applications, like the big screen applications, TV Toolbox, Google TV Library, you know, all these things just cannot be matched by in XP using HTML applications, which is the only way you can develop for XP Media Center. And I've been doing some development for Media Center recently using Media Center markup language for Vista, and the power is amazing. You can produce some really good looking applications, and you're not going to get that from XP. Plus, Vista's got it looks better, and on my machine it runs better. So I wouldn't go back to XP at all. That'd be like stepping right back. And I think you know, people can complain that Vista's slow compared to XP. I think if you've got a good spec machine, mainly memory, then you're not going to have that kind of slowness. And I'm sure that people, when XP came out, in fact, I remember it well, XP came out, people said that 2000 was quicker, and again, that had less memory requirements, and so, again, that was that did run faster. But you get to the point where the hardware and everything catches up to the software. So, for me, I'm sticking with Vista, and I've heard of people saying they're going to downgrade back to XP, but I think if your hardware and you've got the drivers, then I wouldn't do that. But interesting to hear what other listeners think. I know that there's mixed opinions out there. And as for the service pack and features, well, certainly there is a service pack due out in Q1 next year, and I've just been testing the release candidate of it and have noticed that it just seems a bit quicker. I haven't yet tested on my laptop, so I don't know about the resume and the sleep mode problems that affected Vista have been fixed in service pack, but I think from reading the notes, it looks like it has. But so anyway, I'm happy with Vista. If you've got the RAM, I would go with that. And you also mentioned about sort of the pipelines and commercial editing. MSDVR Toolbox is a great application for converting files, doing the file moving, and doing the commercial skipping. So you should definitely have a look at that. It's a very nice application. We've had Andrew Van Til, the developer, on the show previously, and it can do exactly what you want to do. You can get it to cut out your commercials, convert it to DivX, and then move the file to wherever you want it to go. So I would have a look at that. And as you comment on Windows Movie Maker, I can agree with that. I use Movie Maker to edit some videos for the video show, and it is pretty basic. So thanks for the email. The email address is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Great to get your feedback, your suggestions, and your thoughts on Vista and XP. Right, now some news items, and good news up on the cable card from Dell. Chris Lanier reports that Dell is offering cable card on its XP 4200 range. And according to Chris, the price is pretty good. For just over $1,000, you get a Q6600 quad core, 3GB of RAM, 320GB hard drive, DVD burner, ATI Radeon HD 2400, and a single ATI digital cable tuner. And for an extra $180, you can add a second tuner, and you can add Windows Vista Ultimate Edition for $149. And Chris seems pretty pleased with that offering. And there's been a lot of on and off with cable card around HP, and it looks pretty good that Dell are getting into that and offering cable card. And in fact, we're going to talk more about cable card on the show with S1 Digital in a few weeks' time. Now, in the email, I mentioned some applications for Vista Media Center, and big screen products was one of those. And now, Ginsberg, the developer behind the big screen range of applications, has posted an update on his latest project, Big Screen Weather 2. The Big Screen Weather 1 was a great looking application, but it only covered Australia. But now with version 2, it covers most of the world. And if you have a look at the screenshots that you find on Niall's blog post, you can see that it's making good use of Media Center markup language to be a great looking application. And I think it definitely will be one of the ones I'd look at installing. There's no pricing details yet, but the release looks like to be January next year. And of course, Big Screen Headlines was nominated for Media Center Show Award, and a link for that in the show notes as well. I've had some great response from about the awards, actually. It's good to see all the votes that are on there. And if you've not voted yet, there's still a chance for you to vote. And we've got some prizes. We've got a full copy of M-Control home automation software for Media Center from Embedded Automation. We've got One Voice's Media Center communicator software, voice control for Media Center, and a Vidabox remote keyboard, which is a great little keyboard and rollball, trackball mouse built into it, a little USB device. And you can have a look at a review I did that, and a link for that in the show notes. And to win those, all you've got to do is enter your email address when you vote, and they'll get put into the draw. So thanks to One Voice, Embedded Automation, and Vidabox for the prizes. I'm still working on my Media Center Health application. I've spent a fair amount of time on it now, perhaps too much. Now, thanks to the good feedback I've had, I've added some new functions to it, including a 10-foot version of it, and I've put a picture of that up on the show notes. There's a 2-foot version that monitors your system, and then there's a Media Center view from that, which you can pick up through the Media Center PC or through an extender like Xbox 360, and you can see what's going on, what the current status of your machine is, and the recent events. It's a bit rough at the moment, but Media Center Market Language is very, very powerful. It has a steep learning curve, but the more you do play with it, the more you can realize the possibilities. So this is the first release of the 10-foot version. It's going to be very basic, but I'm working on plans for it's got email alerts and web services at the moment, so it's all coming together quite nicely. And if you wanted to beta test the application, send an email to beta@thedigitallifestyle.com, and I'll send you the download links. So it'd be great to get your feedback on the application. And finally, I wanted to mention an interesting post posted by Joe Wilcox on his blog. And he's talking about the problem that Microsoft had with bundling in Vista. And he highlighted the fact that in Windows XP Media Center, Media Center had its own identity. And now it's integrated in with Vista Home Premium, Vista Ultimate, it's almost invisible now. And a quote from his blog, he said, "The point, integration doesn't need to be a problem, but Microsoft has made it one in the way it bundles features into Windows. A year ago, Media Center was a clearly identified Windows sub-brand. Now it's nearly invisible. That's too bad, because Vista Media Center is a great improvement over its predecessors." So it's probably interesting points that Joe raises there. 12 months ago, we were all really pleased with the fact that Media Center was going to be bundled in with Vista Home Premium, Vista Ultimate. But it does seem a shame that you know that the branding is not there and the marketing is not there. You know, how would you raise the profile of Media Center? Is Media Center invisible now? I know plenty of people with Home Premium that are not even loaded Media Center yet. And in Joe's article, he points out that Apple's strategy is to bundle its applications as a suite rather than integrated features, so that the applications get more, so the applications get a better identity. Maybe one thought on that is Microsoft could offer just one SKU of Windows Vista, and then ship optional packs. So there'll be a business user pack and a home media suite for home users, which would include Media Center, Windows Live, Photo Gallery, maybe an updated Windows Movie Maker, and those kind of things. Interested to hear your thoughts on that. And Chris Lanier posted on a comment on the blog and he said, "No, the last thing we need is that kind of suite. This is the exact same problem as XP Media Center. When it replaced XP Home as the OS SKU of choice for OEMs, people knew they had XP MCE, but they had no idea it was included. Most didn't know that Media Center was there and didn't think it was special. Lack of marketing is a problem. A home media suite will not fix that." So good points from Chris there. I think what I'm getting at is really the Media Center as a component kind of gets lost in with the rest of Media Center, and it is a great application and one that does separate it out from other platforms, and perhaps it needs a way of better marketing for it to be identified for users to get the benefits of it. So I think what we're talking about here is Microsoft's consumer marketing doesn't seem to match up to perhaps to how it's enterprise and business marketing. Anyway, send me in your thoughts, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Let me know what you think. Am I completely wrong on this? Is Joe wrong on this? And do you have a better solution for raising the profile Media Center? Or does it not need raising? Is it doing a good enough job itself? And if you're going to CES in this coming January, the trade show, the Consumer Electronics Trade Show, let me know, because we're going to organise some kind of meetup, and I'd like like to meet up with any listeners. So in at thedigitallifestyle.com if you're going to go to CES. Right, time for a break and a message from One Voice. I'm back with Tim Kay.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on One Voice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit, allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. One Voice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Tim Kay, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Thanks very much for having me here, and it's great to finally, you know, be on the show. I'm an avid listener of the Media Center Show. It's brilliant what you're doing, building the community around the show. So, once again, brilliant to be here.
And you're from 10 Foot Media. And we've talked on email for quite some time about the various systems that you're doing and some of the interesting installations that you're doing. So, first of all, give us a background on who 10 Foot Media are.
Excellent. 10 Foot Media, we're a new company, just launched the website, offering high-end PCs for the media center industry. We've got a varied customer base, ranging from private residential customers and right through to the commercial trade. So we're trying to access lots of different environments to put Media Center into focus.
And that was one of the interesting things that came out of the email, is that you've been putting these machines into, not necessarily into people's houses, so into commercial installations. So what commercial installations have you done?
When we first started the website, we realised there was a big demand for home cinema enthusiast kind of Media Center, kind of folk that wanted, you know, the private residential application. So that was really our forte. We had a lot of customers, ranging from, kind of young professionals right through to the families, all sorts of different people wanting that application. But then we also got a lot of interest into the commercial side.
How did you get connected with the dentist, to put a product like Media Center in there?
One thing we found is that media is very powerful, and the Media Center itself is a very powerful medium to deliver, obviously, the entertainment, but also to relax people into an environment. The dentist surgery wanted, in their waiting room, a way to access media that was simple for the customer. Before they were waiting for, what could be quite a scary procedure, something that sort of calmed their nerves. And also, actually, in the surgery room, somewhere, where they can access their media for the surgeon and for the patient to relax. So what we did, we installed 3 rack-mounted media PC systems into the dentist surgery. And we networked the whole systems to all of the rooms, which have projectors and inbuilt kind of ceiling speakers. So on the custom installation side, we did a big, kind of job there. And the Media Center was really the key to offering, this instantaneous kind of access to the TV, obviously, as you know, all of the different menus that you can get through Media Center.
Right. I mean, normally when I go to my dentist, you're lucky if they've got a TV on in the waiting room. So this is pretty forward thinking to, are they offering sort of users to be able to, are they actually patients to be able to select the content, or is it just a way
exactly.
of...
This is the exact thing that they said to us originally. They said, can the customer have full control over the media? And we said, well, yeah, absolutely. The Media Center is secure enough to be able to give, to put the remote control straight into the hand of the customer and leave, give them full kind of, limits across there. Absolutely, that they control exactly what they want sitting in the armchair. We found that there's lots of different positions, places around the country and lots of different commercial applications where this is, very important. Lots of different kind of waiting rooms, whether it's, hairdressers or dentist surgeries, kind of schools, anywhere like that, Media Center we're hoping to place.
So I suppose the advantage here then is that you is the fact that you've got the media center, and like you said, it's a closed off environment away from the PC, so they don't get to see going through a mouse or a keyboard going through the guts of the PC, but they've got PC technology that they can control through media center.
That's the brilliant thing about Microsoft Media Center, that as you well know, there's an option in the preferences that you can run the PC in Media Center only mode. So there's no way, like you say, to get into the back end. There's no way they can do harm to any of the files or settings. There's some very minor kind of options within kind of the Microsoft Media Center settings that they could change if they wanted to. But with the right kind of guidance, and with most customers in a formal environment, they're not going to kind of play around with those kind of settings. So we find it works very well up there. One thing we're looking at is stripping down Media Center if possible. We're in talks with some development teams to try and get rid of perhaps some of the setting options, and we hope that in the future that will definitely be an option.
Right, so you want to simplify it even further perhaps and just have, say, a TV button and video button and music button and take away some of the menu choices.
Exactly that. I mean, the only things that really become viable, the things that that are going to have use in that environment. So that's what we want to do. Just strip it down to those kind of three or four simple menus. The other thing that we're finding very important is that we could do with a plugin to introduce people to the commercial environment. So if we had a plugin that said welcome to the dentist surgery, and say had pictures of all the kind of past surgeries and information, those kind of things. This is something that we're looking at kind of going into that development at the moment.
Right, I see. So kind of a commercial that runs on the media center, but it's not a traditional just straight video. It's more interactive.
That's it, yeah. And there's a big possibility for advertising here. We found that actually in Birmingham City Centre at the moment, they've got and they probably have in most big cities now big kind of flash style advertising boards, and they work on a style of media centre. Some of them have kind of news channels in the background and things like that. So we're hoping that Microsoft will come up with a solution for the commercial kind of environment. It'd really kind of help us out.
And I guess this is where you can talk to the sort of developers out there, and they can come up with that stuff, because it is a platform that's got development on it. You can expand its functionality and write something like this.
Exactly. It's a great starting point. And obviously, I think their main kind of application is for the private kind of home individual. I think we're one of the first companies to actually take it out to the commercial kind of aspect. But let's hope there's lots of developments for our company and for others out there.
I think it's great to see Media Center go in an installation like that. So, it's used in other ways than just the traditional home. So, in the installation for the sort of the hardware fans, what kind of gear did you put into the dentist?
Right, in the rack-mounted PCs, we've got. I mean, we standardise across the whole of our range, basically, with Intel. So we use Intel Media Ready motherboards. We're using the new G33 chipset, as well as some of the old 965 chipset, but we're finding at the moment the G33 is really the most stable for a media center board. It's got great onboard capabilities, so the onboard graphics, as well as the sound, are really crisp. They produce some stunning results. So that's running kind of on board. We use some rack-mounted PCs, and because these PCs are running like a server, I mean, they're going to be on 24/7, kind of 365 days a year. So they're going to get some pretty heavy use. They've got fan controls and kind of warning lights all running through that the professionals there can check on site. But inside the system, the G33 or the 965 boards, coupled up with the new Core 2 Duo processors. So E6550, which, for the value for money as well as the performance, at 2.33 gigahertz, an amazing processor. Memory-wise, standardized across all of our range now, 2 gigabytes, as the minimum. It runs Vista very well as far as Media Center goes. And really, that's the whole shebang in the box, really.
And we should say as well that, as well as doing these installations, you do have your own range of Media Center PCs, and one which you sent up for for which I'm going to do a video review, and it is a nice looking machine. So I guess then you could use your experience as being a PC builder to put these in there, knowing that they're going to be on 24/7.
Exactly, you get that. I mean, we've tested lots of different enclosures. We've had various different kind of manufacturers through the showroom for testing, and we've given them some pretty rigorous testing. There's no real media PC case out there that we would be happy to put into an environment, a commercial environment, that would run 24/7. The rack mounted server style kind of cases are a better solution, if you're going to be leaving a system on 24/7. And, we also advise if it's a home application and you're going to leave the PC on 24/7, which a lot of customers we find do now. I mean, there was a report, I think, on thegreenbutton.com where people were talking about, do you leave your PCs on standby, or, do you leave them on or off? And, a lot of customers said, we leave our systems on 24/7. So, in the future, where Microsoft Home Server is definitely coming to market, we're thinking that if people can go with a rack-mounted solution and get a simplified, kind of projector or plasma screen, then keep the PC kit, kind of somewhere separate, and leave the system on, if you want to, for the time, that the system can cope with.
Right, I see. So you move to a more server-orientated way, which means the case design can be designed to be on 24/7.
Exactly that, yeah. I mean, we do lots of media PC kind of enclosures on the 10-foot media site. We've just taken stock of all the Amara series, and Amara have produced some absolutely brilliant cases. They've come from an Origin, the old Origin AE background, so they've got a lot of skill as far as the internal components go. There's some really cool kind of features to the internals, as well as the running of the systems. So we've got some very kind of media PC aesthetic looking kind of PC enclosures at the moment, and they function very well. The Amara is definitely one of our favourites at the moment. Our ultimate system, we're still using the Zaman HD160. As far as touchscreens go, there's nothing in our opinion that kind of comes close to that kind of case.
Yeah, the one that you sent me, I think, is using the Amara case, and I've sort of reviewed it on the show in the past. It's a very nice looking case, and it does look like an AV component and not a PC.
Absolutely, the styling they've got, in our opinion, bang on. The TF8 really, has all of the features of, a standard standalone style DVD player. We really like the square feet that it kind of fits on at the bottom, which is a new kind of design for media PC enclosures. Something kind of small, but definitely a small feature, but it really kind of gives it that cool standing. But they've decided not to go for the kind of volume control like the Antec Fusion case and a lot of other popular media PC cases, but it still looks very much like a standalone piece of equipment.
Yeah, but what I liked about it was really the simplicity. On the front, there's just a power button, and then there's the DVD drive, but that's got a kind of a flap on it that pops open. So really, it's very clean looking, as opposed to sort of flashing lights and different things on the front.
Exactly, yeah, it is very nice. They've got a new OLED style of VFD that they've just released as well. So they can run GIFs in the background, so you can have moving text. And there's a way to kind of get imagery as well on the new LED. So we'll be putting 10-foot media logo on that as well. And that's definitely a very and good concept for them to have.
Mm. I mean, I noticed that while it's a nice and compact unit, when you have a look inside, there's actually plenty of room. I mean, the review unit had a TV card in there and there's still some space to put other stuff in there. And the drive cages are plenty big enough to add quite a few more drives.
Absolutely, yeah. With the TFA, for any kind of system builder, it's a very nice case to build. There's a lot of room, like you say, for a micro ATX board. Any micro ATX board will fit in there. And with a lot of boards now having onboard graphics and sound to the very high qualities, like the Intel chipset, a lot of people will use the 8-bit Fatality board with the HDMI on board, as well as the new AMD kind of HDMI cards on there. There isn't, an awfully large need to put too many extra kind of add-on cards. But, with the system we've got for the Core 2 Duo, which uses the TFA, we've decided to go for one low-profile PCI Express Compro E700, which is a fantastic dual DVB-T card. It's in comparison to the Nova T500, which I think you've got in your own system, as well as, you know, we've been using for a long time. The only problem with that is the low profile bracket is actually quite hard to come by, whereas the Compro comes with that as standard. So, you know, that fits very well into the TFA. You know, if you wanted to, you know, put that into the x8, like, that's also possible, and it would also leave you room to put, if you want, you know, one of the new NVIDIA kind of a, you know, low profile cards in the PCI Express x16.
I mean, it does make a nice looking machine, and it's fairly quiet as well. Like, I mean, I noticed that you don't, there's multiple fan options, but you don't really need all of them on.
That's it, yeah. I mean, I think the case, the TF8 holds about 4 internal 60mm fans. And, you know, you don't need to run all of them constantly. I think we've got two out of 4 running, and that cools the system down perfectly. And it keeps the system running, you know, cool and quiet, really. I think, you know, that runs at, you know, under 20 decibels, that system.
Yeah, well, certainly it's a lot quieter than any of the machines that I've got in my home, and it's pretty much on a par with this Xbox 360. In fact, I say it's quieter than the Xbox 360 I've got.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, one thing that we always benchmark with all of our systems is to go against what other products, you know, people will have in their environment. You know, one thing that, you know, one box that, you know, people can't seem to live without is either the Sky Plus or the Sky HD. So, you know, as long as we're comparing to the kind of, you know, the noise output of a system like that, you know, we're happy that it, you know, if it's that it's the same degree or below, all of our media PCs, you know, know the decibels of a 360 or a Sky Plus, they can kick out, you know, quite a lot of noise sometimes.
And are you installing these in the traditional, you know, custom installer market? So are you installing it into homes as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Through the Temperate Media site, we do a lot of installations around the West Midlands. The showroom's right in the city centre of Birmingham, so we've got all the media PCs on show in the showroom, showing off all of Media Centre, as well as the capabilities for, you know, the desktop kind of PC system, you know, aside to Media Centre use. We've also taken an account on with KEF, who, in our opinion, are definitely, you know, the best kind of home cinema speaker company out there. So we bundle our packages speakers as well. But the custom installation market is definitely, you know, a big part of our business. Going into people's homes and putting the media centre in, as well as, you know, projectors or plasmas or LCDs with in-ceiling speakers, or, you know, the 5.1 KEF kit.
And do you find then that that people are aware of Media Centre when they come in to talk to you about sort of the custom installations, or is it something that's kind of a new concept and they're expecting, you know, separate hardware devices?
It's interesting. I think with some of the products out there and some of the advertising that Media Centre gains, you know, there are some savvy customers out there. Some customers that come through the door, you know all about, you know, what kind of hardware makes up a media PC. But then, you know, we kind of get some customers that want the next gadget and, you know, wouldn't understand, you know, the difference from a CPU or a motherboard. There's lots of different customers out there. But the Media Centre is definitely, you know, getting a lot of focus with companies like PC World stocking more and more by the day. I think one of the big things for us as a company was PC World's campaign for their Philips Media Centre. I think they did a package with a 23-inch screen, and that definitely brought a lot of focus.
Yeah, so you're saying that kind of your tech-savvy people have heard of Media Centre, and, you know, it's perhaps, would you say then that more people are finding out about Media Centre now, so that when you get people through, that they kind of know about it more than, say, 12 months ago, people didn't know about it?
Absolutely. I think one of the most integral parts of this really is down to Vista Home Premium, you know, having Media Centre as standard. And that's just such a great feature for us, because if people have got Vista Home Premium, you know, on a laptop or a desktop PC, that they've actually gone into Media Centre and they understand, you know, what its purpose is. Obviously, the limitation with some of their systems, perhaps if they haven't got a TV card, perhaps if they're not even connected to the internet, so they can't get, you know, some of the plugins or the online media. But, you know, they've seen the menus and they've seen, you know, the concept. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's great, you know, having people, you know, understand what Media Centre, you know, can do. And really just to simplify, you know, their digital living environment. I mean, you know, what we're all trying, you know, to get towards really is just to simplify all of the boxes in the living room just down to the, you know, the one box solution. So, you know, obviously doing without your DVD player, you know, we can put Blu-ray in the systems, high definition DVD. We've, you know, got the Games Windows series running on there, and very much looking forward to Crysis next week. And really, you know, it's an all-in-one solution.
And you mentioned about sort of DVD and Blu-ray. Have you seen much demand for those?
Yeah, there's a huge demand for the high-definition side. You know, one thing that we always get from our customers is that they've gone for, you know, the 1080p TV and perhaps the new Onkyo 605 amp, you know, that are fully, you know, kind of HD ready, supporting, you know, the digital sound formats as well as the 1080p kind of high resolution kind of image. And one thing they want to complement that is obviously the media. So we're getting a big call for, at the moment, HD DVD really. Blu-ray's doing well. But we're favouring HD DVD at the moment. We can get the drives a lot cheaper than the Blu-ray drives, so it's more an economic solution for the customer. And the quality, you know, is absolutely fantastic. One thing we think HD DVD has over Blu-ray is obviously the interactive menus. Using CyberLink's Power DVD software, it's great to be able to interrupt the program or not interrupt the program and just go straight into the interactive menus.
Yeah, so rather than having to sort of, like, on a traditional DVD, you stop and go back.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they've got thumbnail bookmarks, which is just such a great feature. You can access all the commentary. There's some really cool features in that interactive menu, something that Blu-ray doesn't have and doesn't look like to support.
Mm. And you mentioned about the cost there, so... Do you think that's going to have a sort of a big impact on how the formats progress? Is it the fact that the HD is so much more cost effective?
Absolutely. I mean, when the first press releases came out, we thought it would be down to what movie studios were supporting, you know, which camp, and you know, we thought that was going to have a big effect. The one thing we found is there's a lot of multi-format media out there, so a lot of films that are coming out on Blu-ray are definitely being supported in HD DVD. So on that side, it can only be really down to cost. And obviously the customer comes to us and says, you know, can I put HD DVD in there for an extra £100? And we say, yeah, absolutely, but can they do that for Blu-ray? And we say, unfortunately, you know, that's not possible at the moment.
Mm. And so what kind of price would, what type of cost does fitting a Blu-ray drive add to the overall price?
Pioneer have just come out with a good product. I think the RRP is about £130. Obviously, you're requiring the HDCP graphics as well. The Toshiba HD DVD, which is only a reader, it doesn't write, and it doesn't write DVDs, which is a limitation also. But we're getting that at about £57 ex VAT. So, I mean, you know, it's come down, you know, to a huge, you know, a really, really low price now.
The price can make a big impact on it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, one thing that, you know, our customers, you know, try to do with a lot of the systems is to keep it under £1,000 because, you know, with a lot of the standalone systems out there, if they're comparing it to an HD DVD player, you know, or a PC, you know, just a desktop PC, they want to keep it under £1,000. So it's important to get all those components in there at that price.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see how that progresses because it just Blu-ray seems to have some momentum, and then all of a sudden the HD DVD undercuts on the price, and that seems to get some momentum. We just don't seem to have a clear winner yet, and I think it's puts people off.
I think it does. You know, it takes a lot of advice, you know, for us to win the customers over as well. You know, we get it every day. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, shall I wait? Shall I go for a combo drive? You know, where should I be? You know, a lot of our customers have had combo drives. The LG drive that's out at the moment, I think we get it just under £500, which sounds expensive, but it does everything. It'll burn Blu-ray, it'll read HD DVD and burn DVD. So that's a great all-in-one solution. But yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to be a clear winner at the moment. HD DVD is definitely, you know, our most favourite. We're kind of sticking with the Microsoft camp at the moment, really, with a lot of our products. Obviously because of the media centre, but I mean the media PC coming into a kind of top-end gaming, you know, kind of system, is something that's very exciting.
Yeah, I think bringing all the whole thing, all the HD content together, is pretty good. And of course, the benefit with the PC based solution is, you know, if you go with OneDrive and in a few years' time there's another, you know, you think you've gone with the wrong one, you can just replace the drive and not the whole machine.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's one thing we definitely advise to all of our customers, that, you know, with a lot of the systems, even on a home, you know, do-it-yourself front, it's very easy to swap an IDE drive, you know, be it a DVD or a Blu-ray or an HD DVD. And it's a misconception, really, that, you know, people shouldn't be kind of playing around with the insides of computers, because, I mean, especially with the Antec Fusion case, it comes with a very simple caddy that literally just pops out. So, I mean, there's no screw to even hold that down. So, you know, a home, you know, kind of fit, you know, an upgrade is definitely viable.
And in terms of software, what kind of software do you normally recommend? I mean, do you install custom software for people, or do you just point them in the direction of additional applications for Media Center?
One thing we didn't want to do with the range for 10-foot media was put lots of different third-party programs that people weren't going to use on the system. One thing that, you know, we had a lot of feedback about systems that people buy from, you know, the high street, was that they come, you know, full of all different, you know, bits of software that, you know, you just never use. Although they, you know, can give you the backups, you know, CDs and things like that, and you can uninstall them, it's annoying, perhaps, you know, to have the system, you know, fully loaded. So we try and strip it down. We obviously put that, you know, Vista comes with the Media Center, so that's already on there. If it's HD DVD or Blu-ray system, then we'll put CyberLink Power DVD, the Ultra 7.3 version on there with all the new updates. And that will, you know, kind of give you the full access to all of the content, the HD content and all the resolutions and sound formats. We put, you know, people request that, so we'll put Norton on there. But really, you know, we don't like to add too much. Plugin-wise, we always load MyMovies. It's one of the most popular plugins, you know, that we install. But apart from that, you know, the systems come quite clean.
Which is nice. I mean, I think the technical term now is crapware, isn't it? You know, you get a new machine from especially one of the big brands, and they come with that much stuff pre-installed that it takes you, you know, a few hours just to clean the machine up.
Exactly, and it can lead to real, you know, kind of instabilities. Although, you know, as you know, if you uninstall something, it can take most. Leave things behind that, you know, the customer, you know, won't know, you know, what instabilities it can cause.
Yeah, it's things like antivirus, I guess, and all those kind of things. If you get pre-installed with the Norton one and you don't realise, kind of, you know, it's expired, so you stick another one on there, you can get problems.
Exactly, and the Media Center at the moment is very, very secure. We found that, you know, that the inbuilt firewall, you know, works very well. So, you know, we've actually, you know, kind of advised customers that, you know, if they don't want to kind of have a third party, you know, virus scanner, then, you know, the systems, you know, as a Media Center, especially, you know, not kind of accessing, you know, the World Wide Web as we speak, you know, the system will be, you know, quite secure.
I personally use the freeware AVG antivirus, which seems to work very well.
Yeah, AVG is one that always pops up. You know, for a desktop user, you know, AVG is definitely the best out there. It, you know, even on a restart, you know, it will pop up, you know, with the updates and things like that. But it doesn't slow the system down like Norton or, you know, or the others do. I mean, you know, we've noticed, you know, with other systems, you can be 25% to 30%, you know, on a CPU just for your virus scanner. You know, which is ridiculous.
I think it's always good that the machines are clean, and, you know, that's one thing I like. You get a new machine, it's nice and clean, and then you can choose what you want to install. And I guess that you can talk to the customer then if you're doing a custom installation and just provide the software that they need.
Exactly. I mean, if the media PC is going to be used as a media center only, then there's no reason to add any other kind of third-party software. MyMovies being a good in. There's lots of different kind of browsers and all sorts of different plugins that people can, you know, kind of add if they want. But as a media center, it functions very well, and we don't really see an awfully large need for anything else.
Absolutely, yeah. And you mentioned that you've got a showroom and you do sell media center PCs through the website. So what is your website?
www.10footmedia.com. We've got 5 products at the moment there. So we've got ranging from the Slimline, you know, very low profile system, right through to our ultimate system. Each system you can upgrade, you know, different graphics cards and different kind of specifications. But as a standalone system, they all going to function very well. It really tailors, you know, to individual requirements, really. Some people, you know, want a huge, you know, kind of, you know, hard drive space, and that would be in our ultimate system. We've got a 3 terabyte drive in that, and that works very well if you haven't got, you know, another server to access. You know, if you want to put all of your media onto a big, you know, kind of local hard drive, then that's there for you. You know, one of our most popular systems is the system we actually sent you for review, which is the Core 2 Duo system. As an all-rounder, that does an extremely good job for Media Center and, you know, kind of basic desktop use. We advise customers if they want, you know, kind of an HD DVD added to that, then, you know, by all means, you know, kind of upgrade to that. You know, it's all there for you to them.
Yeah, Skype's having a bad day. It's a nice range of products that you do, and you've got an online store there as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so you can access 10-foot media and buy our store, buy all our products on the store online. We offer kind of next day delivery with most of the products that we hold in stock. You can also kind of come into the store and, you know, kind of test drive all of the, you know, the products that you can see on the website. That's a really good way. You know, we like to kind of get one-on-one, you know, with the customer, kind of show what the advantages of all the systems are. You know, one of the advantages of all the systems as well that we haven't spoken much about is, you know, is the Intel Vive technology that we're using. Intel Vive was definitely one of the important kind of benchmarks for our system. We wanted to make sure that all of our systems were Vive compliant. We think that, you know, Intel are going to come up with some really cool products with the Intel Vive network. So that would include, you know, some of the version 2 extenders. And there's a lot of, you know, Intel Vive premium content modules as well. We partner with a company called Coolroom, and that's part of a company called MyOmni in London. That's www.miomni.com. And they produce a lot of the Intel Vive plugins. And we do preload a lot of those into the system, but they kind of come up on the online media as well.
Yeah, I've seen them on online media in the Coolroom, and I think it will be good to see what you know, especially around the extender technology, what comes out with from Intel, and hopefully you know, CES will show some new stuff coming out from Vive.
Yeah, we're very much looking forward to, you know, to the version 2 extenders. We had a big plan with the older ones. You know, obviously the Xbox 360 was, you know, miles apart from all the others with the Media Center style interface. I mean, the user interface of Media Center obviously is everything, you know, is what we know. The products that came out from Linksys and Netgear used their own interface, and it just wasn't as nice to browse as, you know, your standard, you know, kind of Media Center interface. You know, one thing we're really excited about, you know, with Intel Vive, you know, is the networking, you know, side. If, you know, they can get it all in for an Intel Vive network, you know, we think it will work very well.
I'm really hoping that sort of the version 2 extenders will open it up a lot more for, especially for people like yourselves, where you can put a rack mount server and sort of the slimline extenders around the home for any AV installation.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, one thing, you know, which I'm sure a lot of people, you know, waiting for, if we can get the DVD streaming across, you know, happily, if we can get even, you know, HD DVD or, you know, kind of Blu-ray or high definition kind of content streaming very well on the wireless end network, you know, that'll be very exciting for all of us, I'm sure.
Yeah, it does open up the possibilities for, you know, from right the way up from the custom installs down to sort of you know, the enthusiasts like me who just got a limited supply of equipment.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great that you're putting Media Center into, you know, other than just the homes, into commercial applications, and it's a good area for Media Center to expand in. I also think it's really good that you've got a store where you can come around. I mean, I know a lot of there's a lot of places in America where you can walk around, but in the UK we seem to be a bit slow on sort of having Media Center in a showroom. So I think it's good that you've got those facilities, and you're located in central Birmingham, you said.
Yeah, absolutely, right in the city center of Birmingham. You know, thanks for those comments, Ian. Yeah, it's great to have you on board as well. You know, one thing, you know, we realized that, you know, there was a gap in the market for Media Center. It's something, you know, we're very passionate about as well. But you know, like you say, there's a lot of, you know, Media Centers out there, one box solutions on the high street, but there's no real kind of advice or, you know, kind of even honest opinions or reviews, you know, kind of about these systems, you know, that kind of go into a lot of detail. So, you know, being able to kind of get the customer in store and give them, you know, a kind of, you know, full test drive, you know, we find definitely works best.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, many thanks for your time today, Tim. I do appreciate you coming on the show. And so we've got a video review coming up, depending on when I get round and editing and everything else, will probably be out at the same time as the interview's out. So
I'll look forward to seeing
that
in
the show notes.
Excellent. I'll look forward to seeing that. I'll get some photos, of course, of all the custom installations that we've done. So, you know, all the listeners can see Media Centre in these commercial kind of applications. So I'll get the dentist surgery and a few bars and restaurants that we've done, you know, all those pictures uploaded to you.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Well, thanks for your time today, and hopefully we'll speak in the future about more of this kind of stuff.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ian.
Thanks to Tim. We're going to have a video of a video review of 10-foot media system coming out soon. I got the unit and played around with it. It's very nice, and I should get that video up in the next couple of weeks. Please send in your email to ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. If you're interested in the beta for the health monitor, it's beta@thedigitallifestyle.com. If you're on Facebook, have a look for the Media Centre Show group and get posted on there. I'll see you around the website, and don't forget the Media Centre Awards. See you next week. Bye.